This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're joined now by Tom Ackerman. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Scott. Happy Easter to everyone out there. How are you?
Doing well. That game last night was exciting, the Blues game. They came up on the short end, but how do you assess their performance?
I think definitely a learning experience. I mean, you got to learn how to play in the playoffs as a young player. It doesn't mean that they weren't intense. There's no doubt that they learned very quickly that you have to be intense in this game. A playoff game is played at a different level, but you have to be smart about it. And the Blues had some key penalties that they took that led to success for Winnipeg, and you just have to be better there. One of them was Jake Neighbors. He was called for slashing. That led to the first goal by Mark Scheifele, a power play goal. Zach Bolduc was called for a cross check after a stoppage. You know, some of these things you just have to pull back when it's important to do so. They blow the whistle, you got to stop. And so some of those things that young players will learn along the way. I think that the Blues played well enough to win the game. I mean, they led 3-2 in the third period. The problem is Winnipeg in the third period really put it on them and tilted the ice, and the Blues just didn't have a chance to get the puck. I mean, they couldn't get it out of their own zone. Winnipeg kind of just dominated and did what they've done all year. They were the President's Trophy winners. They were the best team in hockey. And the Blues have to find out how to possess the puck, but also to stay disciplined against the team that good. If you make a mistake and give them an advantage, they are going to beat you. I think the home atmosphere for Winnipeg is something you can overcome. I mean, all these places are loud. St. Louis will be plenty loud on Thursday when they host Game 3. But you got to try to steal one here and bring it home 1-1 so that you force Winnipeg to have to steal one in your place. And we'll see if the Blues can do that.
And when is the next game?
Next game is Monday in Winnipeg. So we'll see if the Blues can even the series and get themselves back on track here. But a pretty fun game yesterday. It just didn't go the Blues' way as they weren't able to capture it late. They gave up the late goal and then an empty netter.
Sure, but playoff hockey is a lot of fun and very intense. Enjoy it. All right, so Cardinals. They played pretty well recently except for this Mets series. What's going on with the Cardinals right now?
Well, they've scored 5 runs in 3 games. So we could sit here and point at the starting pitching, but that hasn't really been the problem. Pallante went 6 in the first game of this series. Michaelis did not go deep enough in the second game, and that turned it over to the bullpen, and eventually they lost it on a walk-off, Francisco Lindor off of Ryan Fernandez. And Michaelis needs to find a way to get trust in his manager and get deeper into games. And right now, you know, still a transition for him. He's a pitch to contact guy who needs to get weak contact. They're trying to get him to throw pitches that he can get swing and miss on and get some strikeouts on some of his breaking balls. He's kind of toying with a sweeper. He's got to figure out how to get deeper into the game. Miles Michaelis used to be, you know, a game one playoff starter type pitcher where he could go 6-7. You could count on him taking the ball and giving you a chance to win. And he has not been that here recently. But he wasn't really the main problem in this series. The main problem has been they have not been able to get hits when they need them. I thought that second game, though, it was a great baseball game. Brendan Donovan tied it with a home run, and then Lindor walked it off. Yesterday's game, a 3-0 loss. Cardinals had no offense. They just could not generate anything. And then, you know, on the pitching side, they got one of their best pitching performances. Matthew Liberatore was great. I think we said this before, that the offense was not going to be able to keep up at that pace, that eventually that great offensive start for the Cardinals was going to fall and normalize, and that's what happened. And then the pitching, of course, has tried to stabilize things, but it's hard sometimes to get both things going at once. The one thing that's been great for the Cardinals all the way through is defense. Their defense has been excellent. That has not been an issue. But offensively, they dropped off a little bit in New York, and for whatever reason, they just don't play well on the road. I mean, the Cardinals right now are 8-4 at home, and they've only won one game on the road this season. Just one.
Yeah.
So, you know, Sonny Gray will take the ball today, and maybe he can put an end to this and give themselves a good start, but they still have to score. They still have to be able to find a way to score.
Any explanation for why they can't win on the road?
Well, there is no explanation for that. If we knew, then we'd be able to figure it out, put the formula together. But they just have not been able to beat some good pitching staffs. I will give them that, the Mets, the Pirates, the Red Sox. They have been able to capture maybe there's just more of a comfort level playing at home, and they hit better at home. They're going to have to figure it out on the road here pretty quickly.
Yeah, I know Donovan's been playing really well. Anyone else standing out to you this season?
Yeah, Donovan had his hitting streak come to an end yesterday. He had a 14-game hitting streak going, which is incredible. He went 0-for-4 yesterday. Yeah, I mean, I think that the Cardinals have had good performances this year, but things are starting to fall off here. I mean, Lars Nootbaar got off to a ridiculously good start, but he's hitting .253. Mm-hmm. Wilson Contreras is hitting .152. Nolan Arenado is down to .288, but he's had a good start to the year. I think you could point to Jordan Walker and say that this has been a nice start for him, but you know, some of the offense is starting to fall a little bit. I do want you to keep an eye on Thomas Tsigiasi, who I wonder what they're going to do when Mason Wynn is ready to go. And Wynn hit 2 home runs yesterday down in Memphis. He could join the team by Monday. He looks to be fine. His back spasms are now behind him. But Tsigiasi, in the meantime, is hitting .433. He went 2-for-4 yesterday. The Cardinals only had 3 hits all day, and Tsigiasi had 2 of them. And then the other player, you know, I think has had a nice impact for them is Joel Pozo, who's their catcher. I like the fact that they have a stable backup catcher behind Pedro Pajes, because I think the biggest loss of this offense was Ivan Herrera, who was their best hitter for a while there. And when he kind of came out of that lineup, it put a little bit more on some of the other players' shoulders. Herrera was off to such a good start. But the other thing was you needed to fix that catching situation, and thank goodness they found Joel Pozo. He's been a nice target for them, has been able to keep these pitchers moving in the right direction. I thought he did a really nice job catching Matthew Liberatore yesterday. So from a pitching and defensive standpoint, I would point to Pozo and say nice job there. The Cardinals have good players. I mean, you're just going to have to live with the fact, unfortunately, that they're young and they're still kind of figuring it out. And, you know, you have to lean on these veterans. The only players in their 30s in the regular lineup are Contreras and Arenado. And if they're not going, then you're putting it on some of these young guys to carry the load. It's a good team that is entertaining. I will give them that. They have had some really fun games this year, but you're going to have to live with some mistakes along the way.
And how about City SC? They do get a draw against the Western Conference leaders, Vancouver. How would you assess where they are right now?
Well, they just don't score, Scott. And, you know, they have Roman Berkey is going to be coming back here soon, but Ben Lute has been fine. I mean, he had a clean sheet. But it's really about their defense. They just shut these teams down. They locked down Vancouver yesterday. Vancouver had one shot on goal all night at Energizer Park. But City just is snake bit here. They're not able to score. They had some pretty good possession. They had shots on target. They had a goal that was overturned. And when it all was said and done, they just can't find the back of the net. You know, it's tough. Olaf Melberg said yesterday he thought it was a really solid game that they could have won, but also that they could have lost. That they had a lot of chances but weren't able to cash in on them. they're working very hard. I mean, it's a hard-working, good team. There's nothing wrong with them necessarily. They just don't have scoring. And if they don't have scoring, they're not going to get the three-point nights that they need.
What do you have coming up sports on a Sunday morning?
Well, I'll tell you two other things. Battlehawks lost, so it was a clean sweep yesterday, except for City, able to get that scoreless draw. The Battlehawks lost to Arlington. And one other thing I wanted to mention before we go, and I'll mention this on sports on a Sunday morning, but the Missouri gymnastics team, mm-hmm. with a historic ending to their season. They finished third in the NCAA championships. Not only is that the best finish in their program history, but it's the best postseason finish for any women's team in Mizzou history. So congratulations to their third-place finish at the NCAA championships for Mizzou. We'll have plenty on the show today. We have an early exit because of Cardinals pregame, but among our guests, we'll hear from Bernie Miklas. We'll hear from the Blues dressing room after that loss yesterday. Curtis Francois, the owner of Worldwide Technology Raceway. Lutz Fahnenstiel of St. Louis City SC, their sporting director, and a whole lot more Cardinals as we get you closer to pregame today.
All right, Tom, thanks.
All right, Scott, thank you.
Tom Ackerman, host of Sports on a Sunday Morning. That's coming up at 10 o'clock. This is Total Information AM Sunday. Coming up in the next hour, I'll be roaming St. Louis. I went to the factory out in Chesterfield and talked to developer Michael Steinberg, who's a philanthropist, an art collector. He's building downtown Chesterfield. It's a very good conversation. That's coming up at 8:20. I also have three good things about national parks, so stay tuned.